Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu. Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point, coming to you today from snowy and sunny New Hampshire, where the first in the nation presidential primary is in full swing. On the Democrat side, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are fighting for a New Hampshire win, Obama leading. In the GOP, John McCain and Mitt Romney are battling for the top spot and the future of their presidential dreams. We'll look at both parties' big battles today on Point this hour at the Republicans. You can join the conversation. McCain, Romney, Huckabee, Giuliani, Thompson, Ron Paul, New Hampshire Republicans, who's got your vote and why? And for listeners across the country, what does this primary battle mean for the future of the race and the GOP? In our second hour today, we'll focus on the Democrats' race, and if your local station doesn't carry that, you can grab both hours at our website, onpointradio.org. This hour, we're all about the Republicans. In a few minutes, we'll be joined by Pat Buchanan, who won the New Hampshire Republican primary in 1996, and by Byron York from the National Review and Fox News. But first, here in Manchester with the latest GOP poll numbers is Jennifer Donahue, Senior Advisor for Political Affairs at the New Hampshire Institute of Politics at St. Anselm's College, where we saw debates that seemed like all weekend long. Jennifer, great to have you.
Hi, Tom.
And Drew Klein is with us, Editorial Page Editor for the New Hampshire Manchester Union Leader. Drew, great to have you here.
Thanks.
And no less than our own Jack Beattie, On Point News analyst and rock solid New Hampshire man. Jack, welcome. Great to have you here.
Pleased to be with you, Tom.
And we are all around the table looking out over the beautiful Merrimack River and the smokestacks that remind us of what New Hampshire was. We're looking today at what it will be, certainly in the parties. Jennifer, the polls are open. People are surging into them. We've seen the pictures and been out there all over. What do the polls tell us about where the Republican race stands here in the thick of primary day?
Well, of course, yesterday's poll numbers are the latest snapshot, and today, the real poll, the election takes place, and we'll know what people are really feeling in this state. On the Republican side, the latest tracking polls show that McCain yesterday was at 31, Romney at 26, Huckabee at 13, Giuliani at 10, Paul at 10, Hunter and Thompson at 1%.
Now,
so I think
is that statistically significant? I'm looking at something here this morning showing, and maybe this is Zogby, showing McCain widening to 36% against 27% with Mitt Romney.
You know, it's funny because in the past few days there have been on both sides of the aisle really big disparities in the numbers. And I think that's because voters make their mind up at the last minute in New Hampshire and the independents are switching. As of last week, 50% of the electorate here, if you can believe it, was still undecided.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. And they're deciding. Some people decide when they walk in that booth. It's really no joke. They were going to events last night. We saw packed houses at all the candidates'
all
events.
All the handshakes, all the phone calls, all the signs and buttons and you name it, and still undecided.
They want every data point.
Drew Klein, your papers come down solidly for John McCain, but how do you see this race? Is he got it, or is it a real race today?
Well, that's what we'll find out at the end of the day, but I think it looks very good for McCain. I think he, in late November, early to mid December, he just took off in New Hampshire, and I haven't seen any sign that that's really slowing down. And if this really is a change election in the sense that voters want, like they did in Iowa, authenticity, sincerity, and honesty, if they want a politician who's going to tell them the truth, even if it will harm his election chances, like they perceive Obama does and McCain does, and that's what I seem to be picking up on the ground. Other reporters I talked to say the same thing. If that's true, then I think McCain walks away with it.
Jack Beattie, look at this Republican race with us. Of course, we've got a lot of candidates here, not just these two.
and many different strategies, but it seems to be all about McCain and Romney. Romney was governor right across the border in Massachusetts. New Hampshire folks have seen and watched and listened to him in that capacity for quite a while. What do you see in the race unfolding today, Jack?
Well, I think in this race and looking forward, what we see is the danger of the Republican synthesis coming apart. You know, the genius of Ronald Reagan and George W. Bush was to bring together the, you know, the social conservatives, economic conservatives, and defense conservatives. And now what we have is you know, Huckabee with the social conservatives, Romney the economic, and the defense people with McCain. And it sort of split along the lines of the Reagan coalition. And the question, it seems to me, for the party and the next and the candidate to emerge is, can they put that together? Or will this split in that winning synthesis hurt them?
Jennifer, what about the New Hampshire Republican coalition? Do you see a crack-up? There's talk about that. Pat Buchanan, who we'll talk with in a few minutes, says the old Reagan coalition is in trouble here. What do you see in New Hampshire?
I think Pat Buchanan's absolutely right. The old Reagan coalition's in trouble here. There isn't a coalition here. It's fiscal, fiscal, fiscal. That's why McCain's been doing well. He's associated with fiscal conservatism.
Stop that red ink spending.
That's it. And it resonated. And with Romney, we don't know his record. And they look at Massachusetts. We've had 233,000 voters move to New Hampshire, mostly from Massachusetts, since 2000. Mm. That's not so good for Romney.
They came here across the
for
border.
Lower taxes, right? Now, it doesn't mean he raised taxes, but he's not really trusted by Republicans up here. He's had trouble closing the deal despite a well-run campaign. And McCain, of course, had to work really hard when his campaign crashed and burned, and he had to rebuild brick by brick by brick. But about 6 weeks ago, he finally got it. He finally said, you know what? You guys are facing a fiscal crisis in the subprime mortgage market. You guys are facing the front end of the recession. It's hitting here first, which, as we know from 92, right, Pat?
Yeah.
Happens a lot. And we certainly see those ingredients right now in New England. John McCain finally listened hard enough to hear it. He articulated it with no real distinctions between these candidates on the war. But if you had to make a distinction, McCain complained first about Rumsfeld. He's looking okay right now to voters.
Drew Klein, your editorial page, lead editorial today, you're saying it again, vote McCain. Mm-hmm. But you also say he is not right on every issue. So
right.
Is there a crack up implicit in a McCain victory, or is the Republican Party kind of looking for a new synthesis in any case?
Well, I don't think there's a big crack up if McCain wins. I mean, there are conservatives who are mad at him on certain issues, but I think if he wins the nomination,
immigration comes to people's lips quickly.
Immigration is a big one, and campaign finance reform, which I think people often overlook. The left, I think, often overlooks that in terms of his appeal to the conservative movement and how that has hurt him. It's hurt him a lot. And but I think that he you know, wins the nomination, then they're going to rally around him because they're not going to go with an anti-war Democrat. They're just not.
But Jennifer talked about how low McCain was so recently. What does that tell you about McCain's viability nationally? He's won before in New Hampshire, but he stopped in a hurry after New Hampshire. What about this time?
Oh, I think he's got great viability nationally. And I mean, I think his great appeal is that he appeals to independents. He appeals to moderates. He also appeals to conservatives. You know, not on every issue, but on a lot of issues. And I think, you know, in New Hampshire, it's sort of interesting. You saw McCain leading, and then after the immigration thing in the summer, he tanked, and he went down to as low as 10% in some polls. And then he slowly built his way back up. What was interesting is that Rudy Giuliani took a rise at that time, and everybody thought, well, Rudy's going to come up and win. I think a lot of those Rudy voters, those people who said, I'm leaning to Rudy, never really were Rudy voters. They were really McCain people. He just ticked them off. And now they're coming back around. They looked at Rudy. They tested him out. They looked at Romney. They tested him out. But they're really coming back to McCain.
Jennifer, what about those names? We've barely mentioned them, but they're out there. And Huckabee won in Iowa.
Yep.
Giuliani, Huckabee, where do they stand in this New Hampshire race today? And why?
Well, I think that it's fair to say that Huckabee is doing a good job here on a personality level, and that people looked at him, he campaigned here, but he's not really the culture of New Hampshire and hadn't had a chance to really introduce himself fully to the state.
Why not the culture? People have said it's because Iowa's jam-packed with evangelicals, but you point out there are plenty of megachurches in
there
New Hampshire.
There are megachurches,
well.
That's right. We talked about that earlier, and there are, but people in New Hampshire vote with their pocketbook and their wallet. That's really the bottom line, and right now we're seeing a bit of a shift economically. I think think, truthfully, that people aren't single-issue voters in New Hampshire? If they were, Romney wouldn't have built a base in the first place.
Third place for Huckabee coming here, strong enough that he can go to South Carolina and
on? He can go on. He's got to go to South Carolina, my goodness.
Yeah.
But I think the real question here, the questions are, Romney, if he is beat by McCain, it's by how much? Is it within 10 points? Because there's really a lot of room there for him to get a closer huddle with McCain.
Yeah.
In terms of Giuliani, okay, he's been here 40 times in the state, mm-hmm. but those visits have not been retail visits. Those visits have been stops at the Red Arrow Diner.
Flying high.
Flying high. Mm-hmm. So he hasn't met anybody here. Expect him fourth, I would say, maybe third. I don't know if his national strategy will work, but I think that if Obama wins, that hurts Giuliani's chances really badly because the whole picture changes. The Giuliani premise was based on a Hillary Clinton candidacy.
Well, look at that, Jack Beatty. Mitt Romney says it's a 50-inning ball game. That is 50 states. Any scenario in which he's stopped cold right here in New Hampshire?
I think he goes on to Michigan, given his legacy there. But you know, Michigan by no means is a clear shot for him. There are in Western Michigan a good deal of evangelical voters. There are, you know, the Grosse Pointe voter. There are also, you know, it's not a clear win for him at all. And he's got money, I suppose, that can keep going. But McCain said, you can keep spending your money, but it isn't going to make it true about one of the charges. He can keep spending his money, but it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to win.
Only his kids will be mad.
Right.
We're going to look at the Democrats next time. But what about Obama and the independents? Jennifer, can he take so many that he robs them from John McCain and turns the whole apple cart upside down?
That's McCain's biggest problem today, is that a lot of people are breaking for Obama. And we've seen that's the one consistency in the polls, is that they're breaking towards Obama. But with 45% of the state's electorate being independent, I think there's enough to go around.
Drew, how about it? You planted your flag with McCain. Could Obama's horde come across and steal McCain's thunder?
Well, the thing we have to remember is that that independents are not some monolithic group. Mm. They're broken down into categories. A lot of them are Republicans who just chose to register independent. A lot of them are Democrats the same way. And then there's the middle group who are choosing between the two. McCain does not need to win independents to win New Hampshire. He is leading among Republicans right now.
Wow.
And he has for months. So if he can get a few of those independents, it'll help.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're in Manchester, New Hampshire today, looking this hour at the Republican primary battle. Very big stakes here. John McCain out in the lead in opinion polls. Romney behind him and much more behind that. Of course, today the voters will have their say. In our next hour, we'll look at the Democrats. You can hear both hours online at onpointradio.org. Well, let's listen for just a second first. Let's see who we've got here. Pat Buchanan's with us, former GOP presidential candidate, now a political commentator with MSNBC, ran three times for president of the United States in 2000 on the Reform ticket, in 92 and 96 as a Republican. In 1996, he won the New Hampshire primary, besting Bob Dole, who went on to get the nomination. He was a senior advisor to Presidents Nixon, Ford, and Reagan. Pat Buchanan, always great to talk with you. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
And with us right here in Manchester, New Hampshire, Byron York, Fox News contributor and White House correspondent for the National Review. The Review has endorsed Mitt Romney. We'll hear what Byron York has to say. He's author of The Vast Left-Wing Conspiracy. Byron York, always good to talk with you. Thanks for being here.
Good to be here.
And our own Jack Beatty is right here in New Hampshire, the state of his residence. Jack, good to have you.
Good to be here, Tom.
Let's listen for just a second. Here's Senator John McCain on the stump, and boy, have they all been on the stump. This is in Concord, New Hampshire, yesterday in a long day of rallies.
And I want your vote. I need your support. I am your candidate, and I will bring about change. I will clean up the planet. I will make global warming a priority.
Clean up the planet, no job too big, and he wanted to talk about experience, the right experience to lead the country forward.
I believe our best days are ahead of us, but it requires leadership that doesn't need any on-the-job training.
John McCain, hello, Mitt Romney. Romney yesterday in Salem, New Hampshire, saying he's the Republican candidate who can beat Barack Obama, he says, in the presidential race.
I can post up against Barack Obama, and I can match up with him well, and can make sure the message of change works for Republicans, not just for Democrats, like nobody else in this race.
McCain and Romney yesterday. Pat Buchanan, we got a basketball game going here. Romney's posting up against Obama. Obama's pretty tall.
Right.
What do you see in the race? And a race is unfolding in this state.
I think McCain has to win or he's finished. I don't think he can go on and win any other state if he doesn't win in New Hampshire, his strongest state, where he must have a dozen endorsements, where he spent a tremendous amount of money. Romney does not have to win, but if he loses, he's pretty crippled. What Romney has to do in this race is outlast McCain and emerge as the non-Huckabee candidate when it breaks out nationally after the 5th of February. Now, if Romney can win in New Hampshire, which does not look probable today, but if he did win in New Hampshire, I would bet on him for the nomination.
How you would bet for all the way? How close is close enough if he doesn't win today for Romney to save up?
Romney's got to win. If he did win, I would bet on him for the nomination because I think McCain would be eliminated, and I think Fred Thompson is about out, and I think Rudy's about out, and it would go to a Huckabee-Romney race, which Romney would lose in South Carolina. He would win Michigan and maybe Florida, but when he breaks out nationally with his resources, I would bet on him in the long distance. But if he loses to McCain, I think it's a three-way race. The question about McCain for me is, conservatives don't like John McCain, and they have a lot against him in terms of the amnesty, and all these things will resurface if he emerges as the non-Huckabee. The non-Huckabee is the candidate, Republican candidate, who is the probable winner, although I do think Huckabee can win the nomination.
The conservatives don't like John McCain, you say, and we've heard a lot of that kind of talk about Mike Huckabee as well. Byron York, your publication, the National Review, came down for Romney in the end, but they said many conservatives are finding it difficult to pick a presidential candidate this year. You've got two out of three that conservatives don't like. What's going on here?
Well, some people are talking about a crack-up. I should say, by the way, that I did not endorse Romney one way or the other. The editors of National Review decided to do that.
Indeed, esteemed publication.
I have tried to stay on good terms with all of the campaigns. But, the whole story has been whether the famous three-legged stool of the Republican Party, the economic conservatives, the social conservatives, and the national defense conservatives can hang together. And Romney has very self-consciously said, I am the one guy who can keep the whole coalition together, and you cannot win in November unless you keep the coalition together. McCain has angered a lot of people, certainly in South Carolina, where he had one of the uglier primaries ever in 2000, lost to George W. Bush. There is an irreducible number of conservatives there who just don't like him, and they never will like him. As far as Huckabee is concerned, clearly social conservatives love him, but the economic conservatives have been very, very unhappy with his record in taxes in Arkansas. The Club for Growth, it has spent $500,000 in advertisements against
him.
Especially after his article in Foreign Policy, the magazine came out, a number of national defense conservatives
talking about the arrogant bunker mentality
were unhappy
of the Bush
with that. So they're kind of calling him the one-legged stool, and whether that can really work is not clear.
Your publication, not you, but the National Review says, unlike some other candidates, he's a full-spectrum conservative, as they endorsed him. But they also said Romney has been plagued by the sense that he is a passionless paint-by-the-numbers. His is a passionless paint-by-the-numbers conservatism.
Right.
Does that really sell beyond, I don't know, his next-door neighbor state here in New Hampshire? It sells here.
I don't know. I went to two events. I went to a Romney and a McCain event yesterday here in New Hampshire, and Romney has retooled his campaign, and he's just made these huge new graphics. Behind him on one side was Washington is broken, and on the other side was his to-do list. It was actually a list of 15 things, except number 14 and 15 were empty. He hasn't gotten to them yet.
And that sounds kind of like Hillary Clinton approach.
It was all of these policy things, and the last one, by the way, 13, was balance the budget, which he had actually put a piece of blue tape at the bottom and written that on top of that. So it was kind of a thrown-together list, but it was very technocratic. And I went to McCain, and it was all God and country. It was just two things. I'm going to defend America against its enemies, and I'm going to cut federal spending. I mean, these are two really, really basic issues with the Republican base. So the idea that Romney can be technocratic and uninspiring, I think, was on display.
Pat Buchanan, your op-ed piece in the Union Leader in Manchester today, last hurrah for Reagan coalition, big question mark. And you're saying, yes, maybe it is. Byron York says the three-legged stool has got some wobble going on here. How do you see that?
Well, I think the Reagan coalition is, I do think it's breaking apart. You see Nixon in re-election getting 49 states, Reagan getting 49, Bush getting 31 states in a re-election race, where it seemed like we were winning two wars at that time. So I think it is coming apart, and it's coming apart on issues. Take the immigration issue. McCain is clearly on one side. He's on the amnesty side. I think it's fair to call it that. And there's a restrictionist group, which is against Bush, but it's dominant in the country and in the party on trade.
And in Pat Buchanan's publications.
Exactly. And in trade, I think the economic populism that you see in Huckabee, if the Republican Party doesn't move in that direction, I think it will lose the country. Because free trade, uber alles, that whole philosophy, I think, is coming under question from columnists like Tony Blankley and others. Mm. So there's division in there on that. In foreign policy, the anti-war conservatives, take Ron Paul, take myself, take Novak, they are a minority, but they are clearly gaining there, and there's some real divisions here. It's going to be very, very tough to unite the country. But let me say this. Mm. I'm one who believes the Republicans can win the election, but the way they're going to have to do it to pull together their entire coalition, Hillary Clinton could have done it. I believe that when Barack Obama, after all of this hoopla,
yeah,
and if he breaks out and it's February and March, you've got 7 or 8 months to define him by the stands he has taken, and I think the Republicans can beat him. He may look like a runaway winner right now by 20 points. I think Barack Obama can be beaten. I think Hillary can be beaten. I think the Republicans can get together. The big problem they have is I think we're headed into a recession. And I don't know how you win Michigan and Ohio and some of those states if the economy goes down.
But beaten by whom, Pat?
Yeah,
I think Romney can do it. I think Romney can do it because I think, he can be all things to all men. I mean, look, because he will remake himself into a mainstream Republican. He's already doing that. He doesn't have a hard edge of some conservatives. He's a Massachusetts governor. He's an attractive man. His family is extremely attractive.
His spots will change again.
If you can say this is the alternative to Hillary, you don't want Hillary, and this is an acceptable alternative. You can win this election.
But how about the matchup, Jeff?
I was going to ask Pat, how does he get the Reagan Democrats? This is a fellow, his wife famously said that when they were in college, they had a difficult time. They had to dip into capital.
Right.
That's tough.
I mean, that's really rough.
Look, all of us have come home from school at one time or another and had our mothers say to us, why can't you be more like Mitt Romney? Now, there's no doubt he's got that problem. He's got that problem. Yeah. And that is why the economic populism, the identification of the Republican Party, re-identifying with the economic anxiety and concerns of the working class people who really are affected negatively by globalization. If the Republicans don't do that, they don't deserve to get them back, and they will be defeated.
Let's listen to Mike Huckabee. Of course, he took Iowa. He was talking with CNN yesterday, compared his record to that of former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney. He's talking about authenticity here, that voters can believe what he says.
And I think a lot of people in the country are looking at the records closely. They're examining not just what we're saying on these debates, but they're looking at what we've been saying through our careers and seeing does it match up with what we've actually done. And when they do that with me, they're going to find out that there is a consistency and there's an authenticity, and if there's anything voters are looking for this year, it's somebody who actually believes in what they're saying and says what they mean and means what they say.
There's Mike Huckabee yesterday. Jack, okay, we're going to talk later about the Democrats, but who do you see coming out of this who could match up? Well, if it's Hillary, or as the opinion polls suggest, if it's Obama.
Oh, if it's Obama. Well, if it's Obama and McCain, you've got a situation there. I mean, polls say that 52% of Americans will not vote for a president 70 years or older. Now, maybe that can change with the person. And then we're going to have a very young candidate. It's going to be a change election. I just think that the actuarial tables and the mood, the zeitgeist, are both against McCain in a way that I can't see anything like that in recent history.
Let me agree with that. I don't want to take all the
Come on, Pat.
I do agree that McCain will have a real problem if he's nominated, in the sense that he is 72, whatever it is. He is an insider in Washington. He's the most pro-war candidate in the race.
Mm. 100 years if necessary, he says.
And look, that is not a majority position. on all those issues in the country, and McCain can't make the immigration issue, which is the red-hot issue on which you can burn up the Democratic Party, because they cannot take a stand against amnesty, and they cannot take a really tough stand on this. And just like Hillary Clinton running away from the driver's license issue, Spitzer, 70% in New York against driver's licenses. McCain can't make that issue.
Byron, I want to hear you on this. Let's get some of our callers in here first. 800-423-8255. Greg is calling from Seabrook, New Hampshire, where it's all going on today. Hi, Greg. What do you think?
Hi. How you doing this morning? Actually, I'm at Dover now.
Okay.
I don't know
He's
if
driving.
I mentioned the name. I live in Massachusetts. I'm driving up to volunteer for one of the candidates.
Which one, Greg?
John Edwards.
Oh, John Edwards. Okay, so we got a Democrat. What do you think about that GOP?
I think that, I think the primaries, here in New Hampshire, I think John McCain is going to win. But I don't think that's the end of it. I think that, as I heard Mr. Buchanan before, and I would have to say, in my opinion, I think he nailed it. I think McCain is going to win here, but as Mr. Buchanan well knows, winning in New Hampshire, it would be nice if they got to pick the person, but they don't always do that.
If McCain takes it, do you see any sign that Romney will cool his jets, pipe down, step back?
No, I think he's going to go down to South Carolina and get really, really nasty.
We've seen that happen before. Byron York, okay, let's say McCain takes it. The polls suggest he might. It's pushed into something that looks like statistically significant in opinion polls, and soon we'll know. Look down the road. Pat Buchanan has done a little bit. Look down the road. If McCain does take New Hampshire, where does it go? Huckabee, Romney, Giuliani?
Well, the problem is it does go to South Carolina, and Huckabee is doing quite well there. He is ahead in the polls there. He has a natural appeal there. And the problem for the economic wing of the Republican Party that doesn't like Huckabee is that he's so darn good as a campaigner. He's just really, really good. And he, you know, I was at a rally of his the day before yesterday, and one of the young people who works for the television networks, they all have what they call embeds, who are following all the campaigners around, and they videotape every public moment of each campaign just in case something happens. I got tape of it, and this embed said to me, you know, he's a magical communicator. I don't think she was for him. She was just kind of, and she'd watched him every day. And these embeds, you know, when a guy is giving a speech, they can mouth along and tell you what he's going to say
gonna
next.
Be next. And Huckabee, not so predictable.
The boredom
roll
factor,
over Ronnie Reagan.
The
We've
boredom
got a magical
factor is
communicator here.
Very high, but he's very, very good. And he also, you know, a lot of people, including me, have knocked Romney for his transformation between Iowa and New Hampshire. But Huckabee is doing a more subtle transformation as well. In Iowa, it was all faith and family. Here, it was get the government off our backs, leave us alone. He was saying, look, I happen to believe in the Second Amendment. I believe it believes says what it says, and it's not about hunting. It's about our freedom. I mean, he was really, really strong. So the problem for the Republican establishment, if you want to call it that, is that the guy that they don't like may not be really ready for prime time in terms of being president, but he's an incredibly good campaigner.
Incredibly. Rebecca's calling from Barrington, New Hampshire. Rebecca, what do you think?
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I just wanted to say, you know, I'm a conservative Republican in New Hampshire, military background, and evangelical Christian, and I don't necessarily go with the flow all the time against the fray a little bit. I'm a Fred Thompson fan, and I think he's gotten kind of shooed in the press a little bit. I mean, he hasn't gotten enough press. And
do you think he's serious? Does he really want it, Rebecca? Does your Thompson man really want it?
What's that?
Does he really want the presidency? I mean, the media may have ignored him a little bit, but is he really, really gunning for it?
Oh, yes, I believe he does really want the presidency. I think he's also, he's not your typical candidate in that, you know, he's got a different way of going about, you know, the political process and, you know, getting people to vote for him.
That's for darn sure.
He's not done as many of the commercials. He's not done as much of the press stuff, but when I actually hear him speak and what I've heard him say and where he stands on policies, I really like what he has to say. I like where he stands. He's very logical. He's thoughtful in everything that he has to say.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point in New Hampshire today. Looking this hour at the Republican primary battle. It's a beautiful day in Manchester, New Hampshire. We're looking out over the Merrimack River and a Republican field. Well, we haven't seen one like this in a long, long time. Nobody's sure. McCain leading in opinion polls coming up today. Mitt Romney right behind and determined to go the distance. What do you see in this Republican race for the White House, and what does it tell you about the Republican Party and its prospects in 2008? Joining me here today in Manchester, New Hampshire, Byron York, Fox News contributor and White House correspondent for the National Review. Pat Buchanan is here. He won the Republican primary in New Hampshire in 1996, former senior advisor to Presidents Nixon, Ford, and Reagan, now commentator with MSNBC. Our own Jack Beatty is here, and Jack, it's great to have you. Hanover, New Hampshire, man. Let's go to the calls. John's calling from Virginia Beach, Virginia. John, you're on the air.
Hi, I've got a question about Ron Paul. If he gets a solid third or fourth in New Hampshire, would that end the media blackout against him? Because it seems like he's largely ignored. I mean, there was even a pie chart on CNN during the Iowa caucuses, and on the Republican side, it had him just grayed out as a 13%. Giuliani got 3% of that. But then
right.
On the Democratic side, Bill Richardson had a percentage that was less than 10.
Pat Buchanan, you know something about running from the wings here. Now, Ron Paul has shown up in these opinion polls. He's done better than Fred Thompson. He's done as well as Rudy Giuliani. How does he factor in as we go down the road?
He beat Giuliani 2.5-1 in Iowa. He's going to beat Fred Thompson up here in New Hampshire. He could come in fourth or even possibly, I think it might be a reach, third. I think Huckabee will get third. But I thought it was an outrage that Fox News kept this fellow out of the debate. Mm-hmm. Now, whether you like it or not, he's got a position which a powerful minority inside the Republican Party on the issue of the war, and he's very principled conservative in my judgment, and he really should have been in that debate. Now, what he's going to do...
Was that journalistic judgment, or was that Fox playing politics?
I don't know why Fox did it, but that was foolish, especially after New Hampshire when he did well. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, after Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what... He's a problem for a lot of folks here, because let's take what you talked about in South Carolina. Let's suppose McCain wins up here, and Romney does fairly well in Michigan. Romney will go down there and get some votes away from McCain in South Carolina, and Ron Paul will get them away, and that will mean Huckabee will come through very, very strong. Mm. And so these fellas, the key thing in this race is you got to eliminate the other fellas and get a one-on-one shot against Huckabee. Okay. Or he's going to win the nomination.
I think one thing about Ron Paul that worries Republicans is that there is a certain weirdness factor. He wasn't on I'll get the emails for this. He wasn't on the Fox News.
So.
He wasn't on the Fox News debate, but he had a lot of time to talk at the ABC News debate the night earlier, and he talks a lot about the war. And it's not the United States' place to have gone into Iraq, which is a perfectly legitimate position. But after a while, he always gets around to monetary issues the gold standard and it weirds Republicans out.
Well, okay, but look what he did. And I remember in the debates, earlier debates, on Fox News, they had the winner, according to the calls into Fox News, was Ron Paul.
Well, but he's won every internet poll there's ever had.
Okay,
but you
can't.
Very active.
All right, but
supporters.
If you got that, you don't throw him out of the debate.
Ron Paul's got his people, and they're very devoted. He's raised a lot of money, and they're not just coasting on this. Jack, my waitress this morning, my waitress in New Hampshire, had 4 calls from the Ron Paul organization the other night. That means that they're really trying to do this. But how does it factor in, Byron? If he goes along and he keeps, let's say he gets 8%, 9%, 10%, he keeps doing that in South Carolina and elsewhere. If it's Huckabee McCain, if it's Huckabee Romney, how does the Ron Paul contingent affect the outcome?
Well, he's shown a very impressive ability to raise money on the internet, so he kind of has the gas, the fuel to keep going.
Yeah.
I think New Hampshire is one of his better states in terms of this sort of libertarian appeal.
Who does he hurt going forward in the GOP?
But I think he. Well, he doesn't. I think he kind of hurts them all, because he's going to take a certain number of Republicans out of the thing, and Republicans need everybody they have. But if you go to these rallies, or if you go to the debates and you see the Ron Paul demonstrators outside, they're kind of halfway between libertarians and a bunch of guys with a big cardboard coffin covered with a flag. So it's kind of left and right, and you don't. I mean, maybe I'm just being way too conventional here, but you don't know where they're coming from.
Well, and on the other hand, what is it matter? He's probably not going to win, but they're going to vote. They're going to vote in primaries in this country in this election. I want to go back to South Carolina. Jack Beatty, If it's McCain, Huckabee, let's talk about authenticity for a second. McCain surely has his own kind of authenticity. Mm-hmm. Military man, POW, stands up for his positions. Everybody knows that. Mike Huckabee, magic communicator, we hear Byron York hearing, with a kind of authenticity that you cannot deny of his own. How do you see that matchup, if that's what it should be, South Carolina?
Well, I do think that the religious right there is a very powerful force, as McCain found out in 2000. And I just think that that's going to be with Huckabee. And if Romney is viable, that hurts McCain even more. But, you know, this question of authenticity, I think in the end, this race could come down to something like that. Because after all, believing in the candidate is the first thing. The position's a secondary. Right. And I think Romney has just had a problem and will continue to have a problem in being someone who people find credible.
That's undeniable. But let me say this about Huckabee. He's going to get the evangelical Christians, and he's up here hawking, and he's going to get a number of folks. But what he's got to do, he's got to break out and become, if he's running against McCain, Mr. Conservative. He's got to be the conservative candidate and the evangelical Christian candidate, and then he can beat McCain. But he's going to have to deal with the issue. He's got a problem of his own on the immigration issue.
Huckabee.
On the tax issue, He's got problems of his own. They've all got problems in their past.
But he's not
an all recent convert.
But he's a values conservative who talks.
He's a values conservative.
But not an economic conservative.
No, he's an old Southern conservative, likes, taxes and spending and things like that. And he was that. He was a spender. And a taxer down there in Arkansas.
Let's go south. Craig is calling from Columbia, South Carolina. Uh-huh. Craig, what do you see there?
Hi, I'm a McCain supporter, a military officer, and I believe he'll win in New Hampshire. I hope he'll win in South Carolina. But I'd like for your guest to clarify about his performance in South Carolina in 2000. My recollection is that Bush's subversive sort of advertising, he had a black child, and I guess that's
all that jazz, dirty jazz.
Really dirty politics is what really killed him down here. And I understand how that plays with some of the constituents, but was it really his not pro-social conservative politics that killed him down here? I really don't remember.
Craig, before we go to that, let me ask you, how do you see it if it should be Romney, in South Carolina up against, I don't know, if it's Obama coming down or McCain-Romney in South Carolina? How do you see that matchup?
That's a pretty interesting question.
Will Romney play in your state, sir?
Romney doesn't seem to play down here to the people that I talk to. A lot of the people that I talk politics with are social conservatives, and they like Mike Huckabee, and they'll probably lean towards him in the primary. But I don't think Romney's going to play very well. Obama will probably win down here. I think 50% of our primary electorate is African-American, so I think he's going to play very well. He had huge numbers in Williams-Brice Stadium down here. They had to move the venue.
Big stadium. Craig, thanks for your call. Byron York, look back at 2000. McCain then, McCain now.
Well, there's no doubt that Bush supporters were rough with McCain in 2000, but I don't think they did the damage to McCain in 2000 that he did to himself. He consistently made appeals not to Republicans, but to libertarians, vegetarians, come on over. There's something about McCain. His most recent comeback has come when he was way down. He was kind of sober and he sounded really good. Mm-hmm. When he gets up, he gets a little giddy and he can say all sorts of things. And he was doing that in South Carolina at that time when he was riding very high. The press was with him all the time. He needlessly alienated a lot of Christian conservatives, cultural conservatives. He hurt himself badly. Now, I will say that since then, he has worked very hard to try to make things up. I've been down with him several times in South Carolina. In 2004, he campaigned for George Bush all over the place. I was in South Carolina with him, I think, in the summer of 06. And he was working hard for Republican candidates, working hard to mend his fences. Some people he can't mend fences with, but there were a number of conservatives down there who did tell me that, well, they were going to give him another look.
And Lindsey Graham, the senator, is with him. Does that help down there?
It helps and it hurts. You have to remember, South Carolina voters are alternately in love with and enraged by Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, of course. Pat Buchanan, can John McCain hold the cloth with Christian conservatives if he goes for forward with a win in New Hampshire. Can he really break bread long enough with that crew and their style of conservatism? Will it sit in the same pot with his long enough to be successful here?
Well, look, there's a lot of Christian conservatives who will not go for John McCain under any circumstances. But I do agree with Byron. He has worked with, he'd called Falwell and Robertson agents of intolerance. Mm-hmm. He trashed Bush for going to Bob Jones University. These things hurt him, and he spent 4 years or a number of years, even more, getting well with a number of them. And again, if McCain is nominated, I do believe a lot of these folks will come home because of the Democrat, whether it's Obama or Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
But they're never going to have the kind of enthusiasm for him that they had for a Ronald Reagan or even, frankly, George H.W. Bush in his first outing.
Let's get a call from Nashville, Tennessee. Bill, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. This is Bill from Nashville. I'm an attorney, Christian, evangelical conservative. And I'm a big fan of both McCain and Mike Huckabee, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them on the same ticket. I have a slight preference for McCain on top of the ticket, but I like both of them. And they've been making nice with each other. And Huckabee talked about a sort of brotherhood with John McCain, and they seem to have quite a good connection.
Bill, we'll look at that possibility. That would be some cats-in-a-bag ticket, maybe. But tell us this. You like them both. Why do you prefer McCain over Huckabee? You're just across the border there from Arkansas, conservative, Christian, evangelical. Why are you leaning McCain?
I think the slight preference for McCain would be Mike Huckabee's fair tax plan. I think it's a little bit too radical. It's a nice idea. I don't think that would do that well, although I was happy to see some improvements in the tax plan. So I think that's the main reason, and John McCain's experience internationally. But I think they complement each other quite well.
So there's a conservative in Nashville leaning McCain. Let's look to somebody, let's say Virginia, who may be leaning Huckabee. Mark, you're on the air from Williamsburg, Virginia. Hi, Mark.
Hello. Yes, I'm a lifelong Catholic, believing Catholic, as Pat Buchanan is.
Yes, sir.
I'm a strong Bush supporter. I support everything President Bush has done on the war against stem cell research, against abortion. He's taken a principled stand on everything. He's had a principled stand on immigration. And I think the Republicans in opposing Bush on immigration have shot themselves in the foot. That's why they lost the last election.
You're up and down all the way with George W. Bush, but you're leaning Huckabee here. Why not, let's say, Mitt Romney?
I think that anybody, Romney, Giuliani, McCain, a Huckabee ticket would be unbeatable. I would like to see any one of those guys on the top. I'd see any one of them.
Unbeatable. You're a very confident Republican gentleman, Mark. I'm not sure all Republicans are quite that confident this year.
Well, if they do that and they stop beating this border issue like Pat Buchanan, then we'll win the election. And we would have won the last election without that jingoism.
Pat, how about it? Here's a fellow Republican, conservative, and Catholic, and he says President Bush had it right up and down, but you and the anti-immigrant crowd are messing it up.
How could we be that wrong if Governor Spitzer proposed driver's licenses for illegal aliens and 70% of New Yorkers revolted against it? Hillary Clinton endorsed it, and she had to back away from it. And that's what crippled the momentum of her campaign. Mm-hmm. This issue is a blazing national issue all across the board. And frankly, if the Republican Party, goes back to the McCain, Bush, Kennedy amnesty, the Republican Party will lose the election, and it will deserve to lose the election.
Let's go back to New Hampshire. That's where the action is today. Hollis, New Hampshire. Catherine, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Well, I'm a 26-year-old. And I live in New Hampshire. I've been a Christian my whole life. And I believe, I've also been a Democrat my whole life. But I believe that the best person to put forward is going to be Mike Huckabee.
Have you gone independent so you can vote for him today, or are you staying in the Democratic contest, Catherine?
Well, that's a big issue here, I believe, because, yes, I am... I'm registered as a Democrat, and so, of course, I cannot vote for the guy I want. So
you'd like to vote for Huckabee. Who are you going to vote for, or who have you voted for today, Catherine?
Well, I would say I'm going to vote for Edwards because, I'm such a supporter of Huckabee that, if from here, I would want to have someone who's going to be very strong against, you know, someone like Obama if he wins. But I believe that by voting for Edwards, that's just a little less strength that I'm giving to Obama coming out of the New Hampshire primaries.
Boy, there it is. Every voter that's with their own calculus. Byron, what do you say right there? And talk to us about, I mean, Catherine's a Democrat, but she's almost sliding into the independent camp there. Talk to us about the independent.
Well, this is the critical thing, I think, to think about Huckabee and the evangelicals, is that if you think of Huckabee as an evangelical in the Pat Robertson, Jerry Falwell mode, you were just wrong. He's more in the, he's you know, it's 2008. He's in the Rick Warren mode. Mm-hmm. He's the kind of evangelical.
Megachurch, California, big appeal.
And he's talking a lot about
softer
AIDS and poverty and doing all sorts of, the government doing all sorts of things. He is not part of the Leave Us Alone coalition, although he kind of sounds like that in New Hampshire right now. And he is appealing to this new type. And I think the caller was exactly that type that Huckabee is appealing to. And these people are not in the bag for the Republican Party. But if Huckabee were the nominee, they probably would be.
When she said Edwards, I thought Edwards Huckabee, it's economic populism.
Yeah, but
that's
no.
What the two have in common. No, and so I was a little surprised.
More strategic than that, I think.
I think so. But Mike Huckabee, as he says, look, we did not put a steeple on the Capitol when I was governor. So, you know, I'm religious conservative. They're my convictions, but I didn't apply my religion into government.
Pat, you say the Republican coalition is coming apart. Which of these candidates is the best shot at knitting something back together that works in this decade and beyond?
Well, I think Huckabee can do it. It's difficult. But what's going to bring them together, I think, is Obama or Hillary. This is going to bring them together. And frankly, the Republican Party sort of forces all of its candidates, as it has already done, into sort of the Reaganite mold on social conservative, economic conservatism, and foreign policy conservatism. And they got a couple of offensive issues, which I think mean they come into the game with a weaker hand than the Democrats, but played smartly, they can win the pot.
Jack, 20 seconds here. Does Obama bleed away from, I don't know, does Obama take those independents and, you know, change the whole Republican field?
Well, that's his strategy. It's called Ohio, and it's called independent voters, and he wants a bigger tent than the Democrats. He wants a 55 election.
Good luck, Jack.
Good luck to all. We're in New Hampshire. Republicans, Democrats added today. Pat Buchanan, great to have you with us, and Byron York from the National Review. Thanks to you both. Jack Beatty, we'll go on with Democrats. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.